There's a lot of them. Good to see you, brother. Amen. Amen. Whoo! Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. It is truly a day of blessing and thanksgiving. It is a day to say that we love you, we love Jesus, and we love the Holy Spirit. And we love one another here. Thank you that we are family, your family. And thank you for the way this family prays for one another and worships together and studies the Word of God together. Father, I can't wait to get into this message. Faith. What is faith? What is biblical faith? I'm told to stand up in faith. I'm told without faith it is impossible to please God. Saved by grace through faith. Even the fruit of the Spirit, there's faith. So it seems like we need to know what this faith is. So without a doubt, when death comes knocking at our door, we can say, all is well. For I have been saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And I'm not boasting, I'm just darn proud of it. Thank you for that blessing. In Jesus' name, we pray it all. Amen. Take your printout as we begin, and I hope you have something to write with. Have a few notes that you do not have. You'll notice the title is Learning to Endure. Learning to Endure. So endurance is a learning process that will take the rest of your life as a child of God. Let's begin with the introduction. Question number one, where are the front lines of battle today? Wherever God has told you, I want you to underline those words, wherever God has told you. I hope you are here today. Not only as a visitor, but we have members. And I pray that every member of the body of Christ here, every believer saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, can say this: I am here because God has told me to be here and take a stand of faith while I am here. Where are the front lines of battle today? Wherever God has told you to take a stand. Underline that word stand. The word stand is a firm position in the spiritual battle against Satan and his demons. I'll repeat that. The word stand means a firm position in the spiritual battle against Satan and his demons. Where are the front lines of battle today? Wherever God has told you to take a stand of faith. Underline that word faith. Faith in your home. Please, Dad and Mom, take a stand of faith in the home that God has given you and God has blessed you with. That home has purpose. It has an eternal purpose. Then there's work. Wherever you work, stand up in the faith that God has given you. And then there is school. Wherever you go to school, make sure you stand up in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And make sure you stand up in the faith in the church, where God has told you He wanted you to be, and take that stand of faith. There's more to joining a body of believers. There's more to joining Haynesville Baptist Church than walking down the aisle and say, I want to be a member of this church. What does membership consist of? What you're actually saying is God has told me He wants me to be here. And as I am here, He says, stand up in the faith that I have given you. It is certain that this is precisely where Satan will show up to resist you. Let's look at point 1.1. When you take a stand of faith, underline those three words, stand of faith, and I'm going to define for just a moment in a small way what a stand of faith is all about. A stand of faith is trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior and not being ashamed of it. Secondly, a stand of faith is obedience to the Word of the living God. I heard the Pope make a statement. He was talking about homosexuality. And we know what the Bible says in Romans chapter 1 about that subject. But here's what the Pope had to say. Well, it's my opinion. Or this is how I see it. My opinion ain't worth a damn, and I want you to understand that. The only thing worth anything is the Word of the living God. It is absolute truth and it is absolute reality. You can take it or you can reject it. Then the third thing is, stand of faith is doctrinal stability. If you have knowledge of the Word of God and you're living out that knowledge of God's Word, it should give you what? Doctrinal stability and stickability. And then there's unity, not division, if you're standing in the faith of God. If you're standing in the faith of God, you'll be serving God in the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18. If you're standing of faith, you're not living a hypocritical life. And if you're standing in the faith, then you're not going to be worldly. Let's reread a little of it. When you take a stand of faith and put your knowledge, underline the word knowledge. The word knowledge means what you have learned. So let's reread that. When you take a stand of faith and put what you have learned to work, that's when the battle really begins. And the devil starts throwing darts at your life. But you have Ephesians chapter 6, and it mentions a shield of faith. That word faith refers to the Word of God and the promises of God. So the battle begins when you start obeying the Word. That's biblical obedience. And biblical obedience is a sincere commitment to fight and also to win. I want you to understand the church is not a cruise ship. The church is a battleship. Amen. And we are here to fight the battle and we are here to win the battle. Amen. Number two, in this battle, will I have opportunity to pack my bags and split the scene? The answer is absolutely yes. Run and hide, if you will. But my Jesus Christ didn't have a basement to go and hide in. He didn't run and hide. He took the cross on his shoulder and went up the trail he needed to go. And then at the right moment, at the appropriate time, he placed himself on the cross at Calvary over 2,000 years ago. And he paid our sin debt in full. Amen. All right? So in this battle, number two, will I have opportunity to pack my bags and split the scene? Absolutely. A, will there be times when you'll want to look for greener pastures elsewhere? The answer is yes, that can happen also. Now, God has called you and me to fight right where we are. And if it gets tough where we are, we must join with other brave spiritual warriors to face the reality of opposition, overcome it, and get the job done. Even if it causes our lives to be temporarily uncomfortable. Let's look at B, fill in the blank. Are you called to be tough? The answer is yes. Tough, strong, able to withstand great strain without breaking. Are you called to endure? The answer is yes, to continue without yielding. Are you called to face all opposition with courage? The answer is yes. A state of mind, that's courage, facing danger or hardship with confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you ready to commit? Underline that word commit. The word commit means to pledge oneself to a position. So when you come and say, I want to be a member of this church, You need to also pledge to the Lord Jesus Christ that you are ready to stand in faith in the position that He has for you here at Hainesville Baptist Church. C, Paul told Timothy, endure hardness and join with others who are fighting. Face the vile circumstances, and if it means you must suffer, then suffer. You must do whatever it takes to get the job done. Now, here's the notes that you don't have. Faith. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, most of you know it well. It is the chapter of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning with verse 1 through verse 6. Hebrews 11, 1, 6. I'm going to be reading once again from the Amplified Study Bible. It will read just a little bit different, but I think you can handle it. Here we go, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith, you might want to underline that word faith. Now faith is the assurance. It is the title deed confirmation of things hoped for that is divinely guaranteed. And the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. Verse 2. For this kind of faith, there it is again, the men of old gained divine approval. Verse 3. By faith, that is, with an inherent trust and enduring confidence in the power, the wisdom, and the goodness of God, we understand that the words or the worlds, universe, ages were framed and created, formed, put in order, and equipped for their intended purpose by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which it was testified of him that he was a righteous, upright, in right standing with God. And God testified by accepting his gifts. And though he died, yet through this act of faith, he still speaks. By faith that pleased God, Enoch was caught up and taken up to heaven, so that he would not have a glimpse of death. And he was not found because God had taken him. For even before he was taken to heaven, he received the testimony still on record that he had walked with God and pleased him. Verse 6. Listen to this verse. But without faith, it is impossible to walk with God and please him, for whoever comes near to God must necessarily believe that God exists and that he rewards those who, earnestly and diligently seek Him. What are two words you do not find in the passage of Scripture that I just read? Two words you will not find. Human logic. Human logic. You cannot live the Christian life by human logic. It will not work. Your salvation has come from God, therefore it is supernatural. The Christian life is a supernatural life. Therefore, to live the Christian life that is acceptable, that is pleasing unto God, you can't live it by human logic. You have to live by faith, and faith is a gift that comes from God. I want you to listen closely. Here we go. Faith. If you look up faith in the Greek language, the word faith is spelled like this. P-I-S-T-I-S. P-I-S-T-I-S, which is pistis. Now, listen to this. Faith means be persuaded. Does that surprise you? Most of the time when you hear the word faith defined, you hear trust and you hear confidence. Now, that's a small part of faith right there. But when you look up faith in the Greek language, pistis, it refers to being divinely persuaded. So faith means be persuaded by God. Listen to this. Faith says, I trust you, Lord, in whatever you choose to do in this situation. You see, faith is God giving His persuasion about what pleases Him. Has it dawned on you yet? You and I cannot do what pleases God in any way unless first there is divine persuasion in that direction to do so. That's why Ephesians 5:18 is so important. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled, be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Why is His control so important? Because if you're in control of the Holy Spirit, then when divine persuasion comes, you're going to move in the direction that God is persuading you to go. Or you're going to say what God is persuading you to say, what He wants said in a particular situation. So faith is God giving His persuasion about what pleases Him. Faith is the in-worked persuasion. This is a work that begins on the inside of a Christian. Number two, faith is always received by believers, never self-generated. Don't ever think you're going to work yourself up and have the faith that God talks about. Faith is a gift that comes from Him, so I cannot muster this up in any way that I try. So faith is always the gift, the work of God. From the moment of conversion to the end of sanctification. Do you know what sanctification is? Sanctification is actually a transforming holiness. A transforming holiness. The word holiness means to be set apart or set aside for sacred use. Now, according to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1, 2, and 3, faith is a divine persuasion of invisible things. Things not yet seen. Faith is also an experience with God, as well as divine revelation about what pleases Him. It is all about Him, comes from Him, and glorifies Him. Faith is not the same as human belief. Faith, once again, goes beyond human logic. Faith is always imparted by the Lord. Faith is faith in God, faith from God, and faithfulness of God. Faith in Scripture is the gift of God, which persuades the receptive heart of what pleases Him. Faith from God inspires or produces faith believing. Faith is an unearned gift of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. You should know this very well also. Here's what it says. For by grace you have been saved. Underline that word grace, or just write down the word grace. G-R-A-C-E. You know what that means? God's riches at Christ's expense. That's what grace is all about right there. God's riches at Christ's expense. The grace of God is about doing for you what you cannot do for yourself. And as you read this scripture, God is saying, you're saved by grace. You're saved by only what I can do for you. Now listen to it. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Underline that word through. I've looked at that word many times. I've wrestled with it and said, God, what does that word through mean? Well, the word through, when you look it up, Chad, in the Greek language, means a transition. A transition. And what is a transition? It is changing from one state to another. Now, listen to this. I got all excited about this. For by grace, for by God's riches, for by what only God can do, through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, for by grace you have been saved through faith. What is faith? Faith is a transition word. So when God gives me, and listen to this, grace is a gift from God. Faith is a gift from God. So therefore, in order to be saved, it's going to start with the grace of God. And then faith kicks in. What is faith? It's divine persuasion. So therefore, divine persuasion is working in my life to give me the opportunity or the privilege to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. For by grace are you saved transition. Faith. God giving you that gift of faith enables you, and get this, to make a transition from being unsaved to saved in Jesus Christ. Boy, that's awesome stuff. Yeah. If you won't laugh at me, do it after service, okay. For by grace you have been saved through the transition of faith. So that gift of faith will take me, if I have a receptive heart, under divine persuasion, under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, then through faith I'm going to be saved. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Now take a note if you'd like. The word gift includes faith and also salvation. Then you might want to turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. And listen to what it says. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit. Underline that word of, O-F. That word O-F in the Greek language means the source of. So the source of faith here in Galatians chapter 5 is who? It is the Holy Spirit of God. Do you know what that says to me? Terry, you cannot produce faith. You cannot self-generate faith in any way, no matter what you do. Faith comes down as a gift of Almighty God. And this is where it makes me want to just get up on my desk and dance a little bit. I have been saved by grace, by the love, by the work of Almighty God, by the supernatural power of Almighty God, by grace through faith. And God gave me the faith. That's the only reason I stand here as a child of God. Saved, saved, saved. All by the gifts of Almighty God, that He gave me the ability to take the gift and unwrap it and embrace it and receive it and be a child of God throughout all eternity. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control, and so on. Here's a point. The goal of life is to only do works that are God's work through us. 1 John 4:17, you can look it up later. Here's a question. What is faith? Listen. Faith says whether I see it presently, understand it intellectually, or experience it immediately, I know what God says He'll do, He will do. Let's go back to the printout. Now look at Proverbs 28:19 at the very bottom of the page. Proverbs 28:19, page 1. Here we go. Those who work their land will have abundant food, but those who chase fantasies will have their fill of poverty. Now turn the page and go to the top of page 2. We're going to look at this verse we just read just a little bit closer. He that works his ground will have abundant food, but the man who chases, that is, runs here and there, never sticking with any commitment, job, or church, after fantasies, strange ideals, and daydreams that are not founded on scriptural principles, shall have his fill of poverty. There is a principle in this verse that we need to hear and apply to our very own lives. If you stay where God has planted you and work the ground, you're going to eventually produce a crop. It might take time, but the harvest will come. And who brings the harvest? God does. God brings a harvest. I believe we're all hungry and ready for a new supernatural move of the Holy Spirit. However, running here and there isn't a picture of stability. Ephesians 4:14, so that we are no longer children, spiritually immature, tossed back and forth, like ships on a stormy sea, and carried about by every wind or shifting doctrine, by the cunning and trickery of unscrupulous men, by the deceitful scheming of people ready to do anything for personal profit. Boy, what a great description of Democrats. When God calls you to do something difficult, your mind tends to drift to other things. And if you aren't truly committed to doing what God told you to do, you'll be tempted to think your drifting mind is the leading of the Spirit. God is looking for combat zone fighters. Those who will stay steadfast as their assigned post and fight the good fight of faith. Terry Davis, are you here? This is my assigned post until God gets ready to take me home or move me or retire me. I don't know what's going to happen first. That's why I like the song, I shall not be moved from my assigned post until God moves me. Amen? And that should be your words today. I have joined this church until my God moves me. I am here to fulfill my appointed post. Period. Non-negotiable.
Amen.
So does this demand a great deal of us? I think you can write yes. Will we choose to follow heaven's commander in chief and give our lives to becoming good soldiers of Jesus Christ? I believe that you will. I can't tell you what's coming up in the election, but according to Matthew chapter 24, things ain't going to get no better. But you know what? We're a battleship. We're not on here for easy living and easy membership. This church is a battleship. And guess what? You better be ready to fight when the time comes. Not ashamed of the gospel, no matter what it may cost me to say it and live it. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. We thank you so much for the truth and the reality of your word that gives us that stability and that stickability that we all need as a child of the living God. I thank you for faith. I thank you for grace. It's what it's all about, grace, faith, divine persuasion, because we cannot do anything in the Christian way, in a spiritual way, humanly persuaded. It doesn't last. It's shallow. There's no substance to it. But when we are moved by Almighty God from within, it has meaning, it has power, and it does the job God intends it to do. Help us all to live as we should, and also to be brave soldiers and eager to go alongside of a fellow soldier to pray, to help them stand. For we are here for one another, and we are really here for Jesus Christ. Thank you for loving us the way that you do. And may your courage and boldness fill us full of it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.